Well, back here in the U.S., the 2016 presidential race heard a new voice this week. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post criticizing Donald Trump, writing that the Republican presidential hopeful has acted like a bully and resorted to personal attacks instead of policy proposals. Well, Donald Trump responded, posting a message to Abdul-Jabbar on Facebook, perhaps making some of Jabbar's point. "Now I know why the press always treated you so badly. They couldn't stand you. The fact is that you don't have a clue about life and what has to be done to make America great again." Well, we're hearing all sorts of surprising voices in the race this year. And one Florida professor says those voices matter more than you think. Kenny Malone from Here and Now contributor WLRN explains.
Last year, a group of potential voters all over the country sat at their computers, either put on headphones or turned on their computer speakers.
And a screen comes up.
This is Rindy Anderson, a biologist at Florida Atlantic University.
And it says, if these two people were running against each other in an election, which would you choose? And you can click on A and hear voice A.
I urge you to vote for me this November.
And click on B and hear voice B.
I urge you to vote for me this November.
That's it. That's all you know. Candidate A.
I urge you to vote.
Candidate B.
I urge you to vote.
Higher voiced candidate.
November.
Lower voiced candidate.
November.
And then you just vote.
Anderson and a group of other scientists were trying to see if there was some correlation between lower voices and candidate preferences, to put numbers to it. But this voice stuff is already well ingrained in the political mythology. Maybe the most famous example?
Oh, very much so. I've done a good deal of other speaking, but speaking...
That's Margaret Thatcher in the earlier part of her political career. She was widely criticized for her voice. People said she sounded shrill. She worked with a vocal coach, lowered her voice, and here's how she sounded later on.
Let me answer that very deeply.
Before?
Oh, very much so.
After?
Very deeply.
Oh, very much...
Deeply.
And this pitch stuff certainly doesn't just apply to women.
Well, I think if you look back at the debate where Rand Paul and Chris Christie got into this colloquy about the National Security Agency.
Rick Wilson has been a Republican strategist for almost 25 years now. He's not working for anyone this presidential election. But he says if you don't think this voice stuff matters, look at Rand Paul during that last Republican primary debate. Smart guy, interesting ideas. But when he got into it with Chris Christie...
He kept trying to make his point and getting higher and higher and pitchier and pitchier.
Use the Fourth Amendment.
How are you supposed
to... Use the Fourth Amendment.
No, I'll tell you how you...
Get a warrant.
Let me tell you something.
Get a judge to sign a warrant.
Get a warrant. Get a warrant. And it just didn't sound like a guy who you think of sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. And so he comes across looking like a kid at a college debate.
Tone matters. And while Wilson says it's not exactly common practice, if you're producing a national television ad and can make a candidate's voice richer or add a little bass, no shame in that.
It's not really, you know, trying to turn the 98-pound weakling into somebody who sounds like Barry White, but it is something that gives you a moment where you, as a media producer or a media consultant, gets a chance to put your best face and best sound forward.
Digital technology has limits, but it can shift the voice a little, like Rindy Anderson was doing in her study. She and her colleagues took that prompt of theirs.
I urge you to vote for me this November.
Then they made a version that's roughly 20 hertz higher in pitch.
I urge you to vote for me this November.
Hertz is a measure of sound wave frequency. And they also made a version roughly 20 hertz lower.
I urge you to vote for me this November.
That's two samples, same voice, roughly 40 hertz apart.
This November, this November.
When people were choosing between candidate A and B, it was the same person saying the exact same thing.
And the reason we do that is because we don't want other differences between the voices to sort of creep in there.
Surprisingly, Anderson says participants didn't always notice it was the same person. They ran hundreds of people through this exercise. They voted on men.
I urge you to vote.
Women.
I urge you to
with
vote.
Naturally higher voices.
I urge you to vote.
With naturally lower voices.
I urge you to vote for me.
When the fake polls closed.
Overwhelmingly, for both men and women, voters chose the lower pitched voice.
The study also tried to figure out why exactly we might prefer lower voices. One hypothesis was that lower voices indicate age and experience, which we prefer in political candidates. But Anderson says the more powerful driver in this study was actually that people associated lower voices with strength and competence.
Now, I'll just say, no one has shown that lower pitched voices correlate with better leadership abilities, right? Which is actually what we're interested in as voters.
And Anderson says, of course, the big issue here is that women's voices are naturally higher than men's.
We are not trying to say, oh, we found out why women are unrepresented in the halls of governance. It's because they have higher pitched voices. No, no, no. The point is, it matters. We can demonstrate with data that we are biased.
That both men and women are biased in this way.
And so knowing that, we're armed with a little bit of reason that we can layer on top of that.
Anderson hopes voters can at least check themselves before casting their ballot. If a candidate's rubbing you the wrong way, is it what they're saying or how they're saying it? After all, we can't all be Barry White.
I never take anything for granted.
For Here and Now, I'm Kenny Malone.
In Miami. Only a fool maybe takes things for granted.